What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world's changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, oh, oh. Wake up all the teachers, time to teach a new way.
Oh, yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, you had better. Wake them up, get them up, get them going, grab an umbrella. Overnight rain's going to make slick streets, and you know how that goes in the morning. So get them up and get them out. It is a Wednesday on B&E. Get you up over the hump and into your Memorial Day weekend on the other side of it. Lot to do. Boston Celtics not dead yet. Look for that dead in the third quarter, but what a rally for Boston, showing some signs of life. They turned the series. We will discuss NBA playoffs. Of course, the winner of that series will go on to play the Denver Nuggets in the NBA Finals. Got plenty of hockey news as well. What's going on, Jamie? Ben, what the heck was that last night up in Dallas? We've got Dallas Stars hockey. We've got Major League Baseball. And yes, we have the Texas Longhorns opening play in the Big 12 baseball tournament this afternoon. Eight Longhorns honored yesterday by the Big 12 Conference when their all-conference honors were announced. We'll run through the list and get you ready for Texas and Kansas today at 12:30. And yes, this 24th of May, Mr. Godbolt, is 100 days to the first Texas Longhorn football game with the Rice Owls on September the 2nd at the stadium. So 100 days, 17 hours and 58 minutes from right now, the Longhorns will be playing football on September 2. So we'll start to count it down and talk some Texas football as well as we get you rolling on this Wednesday morning. Appreciate you being there wherever you find us. Maybe it's on 104.9, could be 101.9 FM, AM 1260, of course, and always streaming for you. Make it easy digitally to take us wherever you go on your smartphone with that Horn app, also on your smart speaker at home and work, and always, Mr. Godbolt, at hornfm.com.
Good morning to the soldiers at Fort Cavazos, Texas, the soldiers in the state of Texas, and all those that fight for us each and every day. Thank you so very much for the great job that you do. We appreciate it. And to the citizens of Uvalde, Texas, we do not feel the pain that you have felt, but we are humans, and we pray for you that the healing, that process that will continue for you, that you can help all those around you in Uvalde, Texas. As a year ago today, I believe, you lost so many of your wonderful teachers and your students there. And to all your citizens of Uvalde, Texas, we do continue to grieve with you, and be careful out there.
Yeah, I mean, such a terrible day in this state, terrible day in this country, and any day that a young person is his
children,
or educator, just a terrible, terrible day for our state and for our country, for sure, and prayers out for sure, because that'll never subside.
That pain never goes away.
No, I know a couple of, not that it's about me, but I know a couple of friends
of
mine that grew up in Uvalde, went to that school, and, you know, it's something they think about every single day, and we all should, for
Absolutely.
Sure, as we start our Wednesday morning. You know, we'll talk the mundane things of football and hockey and baseball and everything else, but yes. Your children, and you know, school's about to wrap up.
That's right.
About the last couple days of the school year, headed into Memorial Day, the unofficial start of summer coming this weekend, and unfortunately, those young people and those educators weren't able to enjoy anymore after that. And terrible, terrible day. May 24th, always a day that we'll live in horror in the great state of Texas. As we get you rolling on this Wednesday morning, yeah, rain overnight. Well, I woke up by a big thunder. Thunder boomer right around 3:30 this morning.
Yeah.
And, of course, the dog then jumps in the bed. And, you know, then I'm thinking, well, I got to drive in the rain. How bad is it going to be? And here we are. We're launching. But overnight rains and front moving through. Looks like a good chance of rain throughout the day today as we get you into a wet Wednesday and over the hump. How's your new puppy doing over there?
I didn't hear him this morning. Lou was just kind of hanging in there. I went out the garage door with my phone and my wife's cell phone still at her bedside, and things were working out all right. I don't, you know, a dog kind of sleeps. Puppies kind of sleep through things. They don't really, it's the big dog, but, and you know where he was? He was laid right out front.
Your dogs don't go crazy in the thunder?
No. Yogi's outdoor dog.
We got a little Chelsea
and
there.
A little one. We got a little one that sleeps with my wife on her side.
All she does is jump into the bed and then crawl down into under the covers, like way down at the bottom.
I start out with one of those who takes me.
You have three dogs. Do you have? Do they go crazy in the thunder time?
Yeah, my Great Pyrenees was. I woke up and was on top of me, and my bed pretty much panting. And it's not easy to kick that big of a dog off the bed, but I got it done in the middle of the night.
Yeah, big claps of thunder, a lot of lightning,
Of lightning,
some water on the ground, obviously some pooling there as well. The heaviest rains have already moved through. Austin proper headed east.
And very much the rainfall that we need to continue.
It's been a wet May for sure.
Yes, it has.
It was hard to get up this morning.
Why is that?
I just love the waking up to the sound of rain.
Oh, really?
And I was like, oh, I just want
to. In other words, you like
that.
To keep on sleeping to the sound of that.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I get a little anxious because I don't like driving in the rain.
I don't
especially
either.
In the night. Well, remember the one time I did the hydroplane thing on 35, spun all the way around a couple times, and my just on the construction there on 35 coming up William Cannon lost total control of the car. It's like Jesus take the wheel. And so now every morning when it's raining, I'm like, okay, let's slow it down. Well, I wasn't speeding or anything on that morning. It was just pooling water and lost control. But
I just have a Fitzhugh is not a fun place when it's dry.
Well, you're coming from the back roads, man. You're way back there in Dripping Springs. I can see that. So be safe out there. Slow it down. We'll get you there. There's a lot to do, a lot to cover as we get you rolling on this Wednesday morning into the Memorial Day weekend. Let's start with the headlines, the trending topics to get you caught up and make sure you're fully aware as you're up and out. UBO Business Services brings it to you. Start with Texas baseball. Longhorns will begin play at the Big 12 tournament this afternoon. We'll get you to the preview of that coming up. But first, congratulations to Longhorn left-hander, the steady one, Lucas Gordon, named the Pitcher of the Year in the Big 12 Conference yesterday as the conference announced its postseason honors in advance of the tournament. Texas's Friday night starter, one of eight Longhorns named to the all-conference team, including five on the first team. Gordon was on the first team, of course. LeBaron Johnson Jr. as well. Catcher Garrett Gilmet, the outfield duo of Porter Brown and Dylan Campbell, also first-team selections. Peyton Powell, the third baseman, named a second-teamer as an infielder. Eric Kennedy, honorable mention as an outfielder despite his 16 home runs. First baseman Jared Thomas named to the all-freshman team. He also was named honorable mention. West Virginia's Randy Mazie was named the conference's Coach of the Year ahead of David Pierce. Longhorns will begin play at that Big 12 tournament at 12:30 today, taking on the 8-seeded Kansas Jayhawks. 12:15 pregame live here on the Horn. College hoops, official word from Texas basketball yesterday, the program has released top prospect Ron Holland from his national letter of intent. The five-star small forward from Duncanville signed with Texas as part of their 2023 recruiting class, but he announced his intention to reopen his recruitment back in late April. CBS Sports reporting that Holland plans to visit the NBA's G League Ignite program in Vegas this week. In the NBA playoffs, quite a turnaround for the Boston Celtics last night on South Beach, down 3-0 in the series and down 9 in the third quarter. Boston woke up and realized their season was about to be over. They rallied and outscored Miami 48-22 over the next 14 minutes. They turned game four around, perhaps the series, as they win at 116-99. Jason Tatum led the way with 34 points, 11 rebounds. Jaylen Brown added 17. Celtics stave off elimination. Game five will be back in Boston on Thursday night. NHL Stanley Cup playoffs, not a good night at all. For the Dallas Stars last night, they are in a heck of a hole in the Western Conference semifinal series with Vegas. Golden Knights scored three times in the first quarter, added a fourth in the second period on the way to a 4-0 win and a 3-0 lead in that best-of-seven series. Major League Baseball last night, Ranger right-hander and emerging ace Nathan Eovaldi tossed another complete game to lead the Rangers past the Pirates 6-1. Second complete game for Eovaldi in his past five starts, limited the Pirates to six hits. The former Texas Tech Red Raider and Rookie of the Year candidate Josh Young belted his 11th home run. In Milwaukee, Brewers blanked the Astros in the second game of that series 6-0. Colin Ray and four relievers combined on a five-hitter. Brew Crew put an end to Houston's eight-game winning streak. Both Texas teams will wrap up their series this afternoon. Actually, the Rangers' rubber game in Pittsburgh is at 11:35, first pitch this morning. Astros and Brewers play at 12:10 on getaway day. Round Rock lost at Albuquerque 13-4 last night. Another packed house expected at Q2 Stadium tonight when Austin FC hits the pitch for the sixth time already this month. This time it's a round of 16 match against the Chicago Fire in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. That match starts at 8 o'clock. And congratulations to the Westlake Boys Golf Team, who claimed their sixth consecutive state title yesterday. Out at Legacy Hills in Georgetown, Lake Travis finished second. Schaap shot under par in both rounds to finish at 3 under par for the tournament and win it in Coach Callan Noakes' final season at the helm. He will now take over as the school's athletic director. The super sophomore Adam Villanueva fired a pair of 6-under rounds to claim the state individual title at 12-under.
This segment brought to you by UBO Business Services. Great people, great service, endless possibilities. That's UBO Business Services. Visit them at ubeo.com.
By the way, Mr. Godbolt, you were popping off yesterday about the high school golfers.
Yes.
Young Adam Villanueva, a sophomore. I'm guessing he's about 15 years old. He fired back-to-back 66s at Legacy Hills to win the state championship.
Yeah, I'd probably make him cry on the putting green, though.
Yeah, on the practice putting green?
No, on the real putting green. If he had to make
he
a
couldn't
big
handle the Texas cheaters heckling?
Oh, the heckling would be too much.
How about a kid that age firing 66s?
Wow.
He wins state as a sophomore, which means he'll be the favorite as a junior and a senior. Keep an ear on that name, Adam Villanueva.
Yeah, these kids go all over the state of Texas to some great golf universities, which is awful.
They can play.
Man, they can absolutely play.
Hey, T.Y., you're the big hockey fan in there. What the heck is Jamie Benn doing last night? So if you didn't see this hockey game.
The dumbest penalty I've ever seen. Right in front of the official.
So the Stars are playing the Vegas Golden Knights, and the series, they're down 2-0, but both games were decided in overtime in Vegas. Coin flip kind of games. You get to overtime, anybody can win those. So you come back home, defend home ice, and you're good. Already down a goal. The captain of the team, Jamie Benn. We saw him play out at the HEB Center when he was coming through with the Texas Stars. Great young player. He cross-checks a guy right in the face who's already on the ground, gets a five-minute major. They go on a five, and then during the major penalty, the Knights score two more goals. All of a sudden, the game's over.
Can the dude wait till the official turns his back at least a little bit, not like staring him down while the guy's on the ground?
Yeah, no, that was bad. It looks like the series might be.
I mean, the fans are throwing trash cans onto the onto the ice. What are we doing? What a complete meltdown by the Dallas Stars. I mean, you're down 2-0, and maybe you're frustrated with some things, but give the Vegas credit. They kept their cool. They didn't retaliate. They just went on and won the match.
Yeah,
won the game. And
I thought originally it was just a glove to the face, and then I looked. He did cross check him right in the face, didn't he?
Yeah, no, it was not. It was not pretty. It was very dumb. I mean, you lose him for the entire game, and once you get a major penalty, you're done. Especially if you're already down, you gotta defend the power play for 5 minutes.
Yeah,
that's tough.
Yeah, and your captain.
They gave up one goal, did they not? In the 5 minutes, gave up two. They gave one at the very end of it.
Yeah, two in the 5 minute major. Mm. So from 1-0 down on your home ice to 3-0 down, and they were never in that game. I keep saying match. I'm looking at this Austin FC game. But never in it.
That can be done, though. You can come back down 3-0 in hockey.
You can.
I don't know how many times it's been done, but I know it's been done.
Well, in the NBA, it's been done 0 times out of 150, and the Boston Celtics at least took step one to becoming the first in 150 series to come back. Not sure where that came from, but that was pretty impressive. They were down 9. It's looking like the Heat are going to roll and close it out in 4, just like the Denver Nuggets had done the night before, and Boston went crazy, went on a huge 18-0 run, and that was part of that.
And part of that 18-0 run was the way they defended.
Yeah, well, it all starts with Boston's defense. That's always the litmus test. To me, it's been the biggest separator from what they were a year ago to what they are now. I mean, they were they were the number one defensive team in the league last year with Ime Udoka coaching that team. And this year with Joe Mazzulla, they were statistically good in the regular season, top five in defense, but in the playoffs, they've not been great and not been good at all. It's been the Heat that you play that stifling brand of defense and bring the physicality. Don't know if the Heat let their guard down or the Celtics just decided to wake up and understand their season was about to be over. And here they are. Now you go back to Boston, and you can't win game. You can't win one game until you win the first one. Boston's now done that. They got home court coming up on Thursday night, and we'll see. Obviously, still highly likely the Heat will advance, but every game Boston wins is an advantage to the Denver Nuggets, right?
Oh, for sure.
Sit and
just
rest.
Another day of rest.
Didn't sit and wait. And I got to think Denver would rather play the Heat than the Celtics, but I don't know. I mean, at this point, you play whoever's in front of you.
Yeah, I don't think
if
they
you're
care
Nikola
when
Jokic.
You get to the championship.
Yeah, but that was pretty surprising. It looked like it was all going to be Jimmy Butler and the Heat all the way. And next thing you know, you look up and there's Boston rolling with the lead.
Their two
and
stars played pretty well last night.
Well, Jason Tatum was awesome. He really got it going. With the three-point shooting and Jaylen Brown. But you're right, they turned it up on the defensive end.
Yep.
And that's what's been going on in that series is, when the Heat have been able to get where they want to get. Remember, the Heat were the lowest scoring team in the playoffs when it began. They scored 129.
Yeah, and they were getting all their shots everywhere they wanted to early.
Right. Well, I mean, they scored 129 in Game 3. Then, of course, in Game 1 that they won, they had a 46-point quarter. They had a 37-point quarter in Game 2. And it's just, Boston's got to play defense if they're going to match the Heat, and at least for one night and for one half, they did just that. and they got a nice win. Jason Tatum with 34 points, and Jaylen Brown had 17. And really team effort for Boston last night, but still a huge mountain to climb.
Boy, do they ever.
For that team. So that was your night on the ice, night on the court. Also, congratulations to Lucas Gordon. Well, here's some sound from David Pierce, because we had a good conversation with David Pierce yesterday, and he talked about how Lucas Gordon, how steadying he's been for this team. And LeBaron Johnson Jr., congratulations to that young guy. All conference for the right-hander who starts on Saturdays for Texas. What a story that is. We'll hear from Coach Pierce on that as well. You know, he talked about yesterday with us, Buck, that LeBaron Johnson Jr., when he got here, was just a great athlete. He didn't know much about pitching. He's got a great arm, but he's had to learn to pitch. He's had to learn to, you know, control what he's got. And Coach told us yesterday that the best three pitches on the team of all the pitchers belong to one guy, LeBaron Johnson Jr. And that, according to Coach Pierce, says the bullpen catcher who catches all of them, says the best three pitches that on the staff belong to LBJ. And we'll hear Coach Pierce talking about that. But he's first team. That gives Texas quite a 1-2 punch. And then, you know, three guys, Garrett Gilmette, the catcher, first team, all Big 12. Dylan Campbell, of course, with that 33-game hitting streak. And Porter Brown, downtown Porter Brown, what a stud he's been for the Longhorns this year, coming in from TCU.
So a really young baseball team, too.
Well, Porter Brown and
about the door, aren't they?
Some of these guys will be gone. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, Jared Thomas was all freshman team. He's the guy you build around. And some of these guys will be back. I thought, you know, to be honest with you, if I had a vote, I'd have voted for David Pierce as coach of the year. I mean, in his 7 years at Texas, this is the best job he's done in a rebuilding year to win the conference, essentially. Bring in two new coaches, rebuild your coaching staff, make the changes that he felt like needed to happen. Even though they were in Omaha last year, you know, playing is, and they were the number one team in the country to start the year. You know, Coach Pierce felt like the changes needed to be made with his pitching coach and move some people around to handle transfer portal things and bring in Steve Rodriguez and Woody Williams. You make those moves and you bring in 19 new players.
And you're still making changes throughout the season all the way to the bitter end.
A puzzle the whole time. You know, LeBaron Johnson Jr.'s first team All-Big 12, he was a Tuesday starter when the season began. He was starting your midweek games, trying to get his arm built up. You weren't sure. Remember, we go back to our first visit with Coach Pierce.
Oh, yeah.
We were talking about LBJ maybe being the closer on this team with that great arm and that great stuff. And Coach Pierce told us, no, we're going to try to stretch him out, try to get him to become one of our starters. And certainly he did that and went 7-2 and anchors your Saturday and your game two, whichever day that is. I think Coach Pierce rightfully. But Randy Mazey, West Virginia just never won even a share of the Big 12 championship. They did, but you know, you could argue Texas swept them, dominated them. I wonder if they voted ahead of the series this past weekend with West Virginia, because I think I would have gone with Coach Pierce in that role, but it goes to Randy Mazey as the conference's coach of the year. And Eric Kennedy with his, as an honorable mention, I thought, you know, his 16 home runs and as a sixth-year player, I thought he might be, you know, second, third team on that, but good congratulations to the 8 Longhorns who were honored yesterday. Horns will play Kansas today.
Yeah, this is a really open Big 12. A lot of good players, but not a lot of great teams. This was a fun year for everybody, I got to be thinking. When you got West Virginia and Texas in the middle of all this, that's a pretty good year, Big 12 baseball-wise, I thought.
And at this point, as we've talked about, the only team that is assured, I think, of this point of hosting, being one of the top 16, because remember, on Memorial Day on Monday, the NCAA, all the conference tournaments will be done, and they'll announce the field. And Texas has put themselves in a spot that if they play well here in Arlington at Globe Life this week, they can get themselves a host, and West Virginia is likely to host, but that's it out of the Big 12.
Yep.
And we talked at the end of the show yesterday, you know what's interesting, if Texas does, you know, and Coach Pierce said the goal is to go win the Big 12 tournament. This is they're not going up there to.
Oh no,
this isn't
not,
like the basketball tournament.
No, this is not trying to win a couple.
Yeah, they have goals of winning 5 championships. They reach their first one, which is regular season champs of the Big 12. They share that, but they're the one seed, so they get that. Then there's Big 12 tournament. Then you've got to win your regional. Then you've got to win your super regional. Then you got to get to Omaha, and when you get to Omaha, you got to try to win the College Baseball World Series. Those are your 5 championships. And they've got one, and so they're going to try to win this. If they were to win the Big 12, they would certainly host.
Oh, for sure.
And if they host, Buck, you know who's likely to be rolling in here? Texas A&M. The Aggies have kind of punched their ticket to the tournament,
like
but they're
that,
not going to host.
Isn't that good stuff? Way to start.
And if it plays
out,
did they
win yesterday? They beat Tennessee.
I haven't seen that score, but
I'll look it up.
If they look, they're playing in the SEC tournament right now. All the tournaments are up and running. But so if Texas were to be – Texas may very well be the lone host in the great state. I mean, in this state, if they can get there, because Dallas Baptist is the only other school that is even making an argument. And if Texas goes and wins or gets to the championship round of the Big 12 tournament, they will probably steal that from DBU. And you could see Dallas Baptist coming here, and you could see A&M coming here. And guess what? You could see Texas State. If they can perform well at the Coach Ty Harrington told us yesterday that he thinks the Bobcats have to win the Sun Belt tournament if they're going to make it. If they don't win the tournament, they likely won't make the field with their current RPI. So if Texas State were to sneak in, they likely, because the NCAA likes to keep it regional, prevent the travel. So if Dish Falk's the host, you very well could see A&M, DBU, and a team like Texas State here. It's not one of those years where Texas, TCU, and Texas Tech or A&M are all hosting first weekend regionals. It'll likely just be one.
A&M is not a guarantee. They're at 33-23. They did win yesterday, which helps their case a lot. They beat Tennessee 3-0.
Well, listen, their head coach Jim Schlossnagel was asked ahead of this tournament, where would you prefer to go? He said, "Look, well, I'll take a 4 seed in Anchorage just to get in the tournament at this point." Because they've been up and down this year at A&M, but I think most think because the SEC is so good. I mean, the SEC has got, you look at the top 10 in the country, the RPI. I mean, they got five or six teams in there.
They're the 10 seed in the SEC tournament. They were that's a single elimination game yesterday. And Tennessee is ranked in, the top, I think, top 10, aren't they?
Yeah, well, Tennessee's one of those top teams.
And
LSU.
They were the seventh team in
South Carolina. I mean, SEC's loaded. And everything I read yesterday and leading into this is that A&M has made it. They've done enough to get at least into the field. But they're not going to host by any stretch.
No.
And they're likely to be a 3 or 4 seed. Which, again, could be right here in Austin. And how cool would that be? The Texas softball team just hosted the Austin Regional, and they had Texas State, Texas A&M, and Seton Hall were over at McCombs Field. And, of course, the Longhorns beat the Aggies back-to-back days to eliminate them. Could have a similar scenario in baseball. But first things first, Longhorns have to go to Arlington and play well. Today they play the 8th seed, Kansas. The Longhorns are among the leaders in the Big 12 in almost every category, offense, defense, pitching. Kansas is at the bottom of almost every category. Kansas is the last place team. Baylor's not there, right? Baylor didn't qualify. There's
That's
nine teams.
That's the first time for them,
yeah,
right?
First time ever Baylor hadn't qualified for the Big 12 tournament. So Kansas is the lowest seed. And Texas, and Coach told us yesterday that Lucas Gordon will start the game today. They're not going to shuffle their rotation at all. There's a thought that you could start somebody else and then have Lucas Gordon, on a full week's rest for game two on Thursday. But Lucas Gordon will start the game today. LBJ will pitch on Thursday. If the Longhorns win today against Kansas, they'll play tomorrow afternoon. If they lose today, keep in mind they'll play tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Our show would be shortened tomorrow if the Longhorns win.
9 a.m.
Because they go 4 games a day at the Big 12 tournament starting at 9. Texas will play that second game today at 12:30. This morning at the Big 12 tournament, it's the Battle of the Purple, TCU and K-State, the morning game. And then Texas will play 12:30. As we said, winner plays Thursday 4, loser plays Thursday 9 a.m. at Globe Life Field. And the good thing is, there's rain coming down.
Doesn't matter.
No risk of weather issues, which is it's a good thing. They used to deal with that all the time when they were playing in Oklahoma City.
Be careful going up there if you're going up this morning.
Yeah, if you're getting up and getting out, be careful. I will say, having made the trip up to Denton a few times, 35 has become a really easy drive.
Very nice, huh?
Oh, man. Waco's wide open.
Come on.
Even when if you're going to Dallas, even when you get to the Waxahachie or to the split
that interchange
there.
Not so fast?
Not so fast on that one.
Listen.
The past two times I've driven up there in the last month, it's been
a little split?
It's a little sketchy. It's not about the construction. It's more about the people driving.
Oh, they don't know if they're going to split left or right. What are they hanging in the middle now?
That's when everyone starts going like 95.
Well, because it's 5 lanes.
The lanes are just because it's 5 lanes doesn't mean those lanes
are
tight.
I hit the gas when I take that left. If I'm going towards Arlington, I put it to the.
Report back if you haven't made that trip and you are making the trip today to go up and see the Longhorns play baseball. If you're, you can go with you can go either way, but you're likely to go the other way. But if you're going to Dallas, straight into Big D when it splits there at the 35 split.
You like that now?
Now going into Dallas is 3 lanes all the way in.
Nice.
Remember, it used to be just 2 lanes.
Oh, yeah.
The construction was going on. Now it's 3 lanes all the way. I think there's still a one piece of construction that happens right there into Waxahachie. But, man, it is good. Having made that trip for years and years and years, it's as good as it's ever been as far as construction on I-35. But so be safe. But if you are going up, you could leave here in a little while and make it for 12:30.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
With Lucas Gordon on the mound. I did see some Longhorn fans complaining. We'll tell you why about the ticketing process for the Big 12 tournament. We'll get to that coming up. Your thoughts on David Pierce. Should he have been the coach of the year? Your thoughts on Jamie Benn. What is your captain doing getting, you know, kicked
captain,
out of a game?
Captain, my captain.
That is not a good way to go on home ice against the Vegas Golden Knights. Also, we'll get to the other top stories of the day. Just getting warmed up on a Wednesday morning, getting you up over the hump into Memorial Day weekend. It's B&E on the Horn.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Wet Wednesday on B&E. It does look like, looking at the radar, that the heavy storms have moved through, but still lingering rain and wet streets from the overnight front.
It's coming down hard, too.
Well, that's moved. The heavy, heavy stuff with the thunder looks like, at least the radar I'm looking at, has moved down towards Bastrop and beyond and headed southeast. But we'll still deal with the residual showers and pooling water. So be careful, Don Miller, with the traffics all morning. As we said, if you're headed up to Arlington for Texas baseball, Lucas Gordon on the mound today at 12:30. He is the conference's pitcher of the year. Got to think Lucas is looking to make up. You know, one of his conference losses was to Kansas, which would surprise you, right? He went 6-1 in Big 12 play. Microscopic ERA, lowest team batting average against or opposing batting average against. And, you know, he lost that Friday start. The one game he did not look like Lucas Gordon was against Kansas on a Friday night. The Longhorns lost that ball game. They went on to win the series. They bounced back one the Saturday and Sunday games in Lawrence. But you got to think Lucas Gordon, the competitor that he is going to look to rectify that today at 12:30, make amends there. But that'll be the second game of the day. Also, we mentioned that West Virginia, you know, the likely team to host. They play Texas Tech tonight, the last game of the day. That'll be an interesting game. That's a big game for Tech. Saw where Tech is currently ranked 30th in the RPI. They're trying to get themselves and improve their seeding. They're going to look at that West Virginia game as an opportunity and see if they can continue pounding lumps into the Mountaineers like the Longhorns did. Texas Tech has the best offense in the conference. If they can pitch, they'll be all right in that one. So should be a good day of Big 12 baseball. It's on ESPN and ESPN Plus, and of course the Longhorn game will be right here at 12:30 with a 12:15 pregame on the Horn. Celtics stay alive with a win in Game 4 last night. What a run they went on! We'll recap some NBA coming up. And this guy says, "E," talking about the trip up to Dallas, says that they started making a walking lane for you when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. Well,
that's what's taking so long, the construction of that walking lane.
It's been 23 years.
You should be done with it by now.
Since I've made that promise. It was 1999 that I made that. It wasn't a bet. It was a promise that I would walk to Dallas if the Cowboys win the Super Bowl with Jerry Jones as their general manager. I'm looking at the current odds on that. Cowboys
Six best odds, right?
Plus 1,400, yes. The best odds to win the Super Bowl this year, the Kansas City Chiefs, plus 600.
Third best in NFC.
Eagles are plus 650, Bills plus 900, 49ers plus 1,000, Bengals plus 1,200, and Cowboys plus 1,400. I'm not worried.
How about that Atlanta Falcons deal? Plus, is that 7,000?
What's that?
Not a chance that hits.
Atlanta Falcons plus 7,000. Yeah, that's Bijan.
That's burning money.
That's burning money. Just give it to me. We'll light it on fire.
Come
Houston
on,
Texans, along with the Arizona Cardinals, the lowest odds, plus 2,000. Oh, 20,000. Say plus 20,000. Ouch.
Take a shot at it.
No, it's 2,000.
2,000.
No, it's got to be more than
no,
that.
No, it's 20,000.
Yeah.
It's plus 20,000. Gosh, that's a lot of zeros.
I mean, $100 on that.
Yeah. Well, it goes to the Titans at plus 8,000 to the Colts at plus. Oh, my gosh. Colts, Cardinals, Texans at the bottom. The AFC South is at the bottom, along with the Arizona Cardinals. Obviously, the Jacksonville Jags are up there at plus 2,500. But, yeah, Cowboys, sixth best odds to win the Super Bowl. Your boy's not worried. I'm really not.
Not worried at all.
Who's quarterback?
Dak Prescott.
Who's the coach?
That's what I'm excited about.
Who's the GM?
That's what he's excited. He's excited about his coach.
I like the energy he's bringing into this year.
Who's the GM?
The Joneses.
I'm good.
The Joneses. No, Mr. Jones.
That's good.
Jerry's not calling those shots anymore.
Don't you think that? Yeah. Okay.
Hey, I'm looking at the website right here, DallasCowboys.com.
What does it say? What does it say? What is his
owner,
title?
Owner, general manager,
coach.
Coach Jerry Jones.
Says coach.
I'm good. Are the Chiefs still playing? Patrick Mahomes still play?
Yeah, he's still playing. Philly's still playing too.
Jalen Hurts with his master's degree. Yeah, I'm all right.
Come on. You take the flyer on Tua and the gang. The Tua will be upright for 2200.
Not doing that.
Come on, man. You got how about Dan Campbell? There's another one. You got to take a flyer on somebody.
I wouldn't put
on Detroit
anybody. I wouldn't put all y'all's money on the Detroit Lions to do anything.
So what about the love of Campbell?
Bad money.
For the love of Campbell.
They would be winning with like a minute left in the fourth quarter, and somehow he'd figure out a way to.
They're not the Falcons.
Like, blow it.
Yeah.
They're not the Atlanta Falcons.
With his coaching, like his in-game critical situation coaching ability is terrible. He's great at inspiring a group of men.
I mean, before the game, he's good at the pregame speech.
But his in-game coaching adjustments are in there with.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
Some of the worst.
It's going to fire up the Detroit fans right there.
Big Mac McCarthy is a inspiring of men kind of guy. I mean, is that his mumbling mic?
What, crushing watermelons before games and stuff last year?
Don't forget, he had a farm. He had a ranch where they all went out and just checked out film.
Watch games.
Watch game film.
Him and Mike Nolan, that worked out.
And then when Mike McCarthy was given the job, he assembled the worst coaching staff the Cowboys have ever had.
Him and his boys were ready.
Him and his dudes that were hanging out in the farm.
Come on, man. I'm believing in Big Mac this year.
I am too.
Well, Jerry and Stephen are. They've
Super
given
Bowl
him,
champion.
I don't know Mike about McCarthy. That. I'm just getting to the Super Bowl because they may have to play that.
See Aaron Rodgers is already hurt at voluntary OTAs.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, strain calf.
Strain calf. Minor calf strain. Kept him out of practice. He says he's fine.
All that working out in a cave in the dark.
Aaron Rodgers did say it's been like a dream month so far. Dream month. It's been dreamy.
At the hockey games and the basketball games?
Says every day I wake up excited about coming to the facility. Now the commute being just 2 minutes really helps. Oh, how long was the commute in Green Bay? It's a tiny little town.
Probably lived in Champaign, Illinois.
Not only the commute being 2 minutes, just rolling out of bed, headed to the facility, it's nice. I have excitement about coming down Jets Drive every day.
That's the first time anyone's ever said that about New Jersey.
Yeah.
Probably.
A-Rod's having a great time. And that's one of the more compelling storylines of the upcoming season is Aaron Rodgers and those Jets. Because if it goes well for him, and he's anywhere close to the MVP years. I mean, it's only been 1 year removed from back-to-back MVP seasons for Aaron Rodgers. He's back reunited with his offensive coordinator on those MVP runs, Nathaniel Hackett.
The guy will be thinking of retirement by game eight. This is it. This is my final year,
throwing
y'all.
To Garrett Wilson, the NBA NFL's rookie of the year on the offensive side. Breece Hall is back. Offensive line is improved.
Randall Cobb.
He's got
his
buddies. Right. Buddies are there.
He's got his buddies. Oh, man. This says Lions are winning their division. They could. I would also say don't sleep. I know we saw them go out with a whimper, but the Minnesota Vikings adding Jordan Addison to go with Justin Jefferson. Now, they're going to release Dalvin Cook coming up. Who do you think's going to pick up Dalvin Cook? That becomes a big question with the Cowboys being
you're a Dallas Cowboys.
Well,
do they play defense in Minnesota?
Well, that was why they were terrible defense. On defense last year. And if you saw the playoff game they played with the New York Giants where all of a sudden Daniel Jones looked like Johnny Unitas throwing the ball around. Like, what are we
doing?
It looks
like Lamar Jackson out there.
Well, it's like, where's your defense? Guys are running wide open. It's not like this Giants offense is some prolific Patrick Mahomes Chiefs offense.
They had nobody to throw to until that game.
Yeah, because the Vikings didn't cover anybody. But they fired their defensive coordinator. They're changing. But their offense is going to be a handful. Even with Kirk Cousins at the helm. And I'm talking about in that division, the NFC North. They are the reigning champions of that division, and Green Bay.
Let's not forget that, y'all. And you too, Dan Campbell.
Detroit's the sexy pick, and maybe they do take that next step. But remember, it's still Jared Goff. He doesn't know which direction the sun rises.
Jared Goff, second best quarterback in the NFC.
Okay. Behind?
Jalen Hurts, sadly.
Ahead of Dak Prescott.
Yes.
Ooh.
How can you talk about Big Mac and talk about what we're going to do?
Because we're running the ball. Bucky.
You're not running the ball. That believe me, you're not paying Dak Prescott all that money to run
Stephen
the ball.
Stephen McGee could be playing quarterback out there. We're running the ball. It doesn't matter.
Dude, they're not turning around and handing. They're going to do this for the game one in the first quarter.
Zeke's
and then he's going to say,
home.
Let's
Zeke's
throw
coming
it.
Home.
Don't stop it with the Zeke thing.
And we're pounding that rock.
He's going to be Dalvin Cook.
Assistant coach Zeke. Huh. That's who he's going to be.
This says Jerry is only part of the problem. Don't leave Dak off the suspect list. Well, no, I'm not. But
he is.
Who's chosen to invest in that particular quarterback? And this is the
all
reason
that money.
The promise has been in place for 24 years now that Jerry Jones, as long as he's making the final call on things, trying to prove Jimmy Johnson wrong, which is what he's been doing.
Big Mac doing all the play calling and all the run game stuff. You know what they're ready for? They're ready for USC's quarterback. That's what they're trying to get ready for.
No.
Yeah, that's right. They'll show you how to tank. I know Houston couldn't do it, but the Cowboys,
Dallas?
Yeah, they know how to tank.
They're not tanking.
Come on.
That'd be silly. They're going to win double-digit games or close to it for sure. They're one of the top two or three teams in the NFC. I mean, whatever I think of Mike McCarthy and Dak Prescott, their defense is ridiculous, and they've got good weapons. They won't win the Super Bowl, but they're going to make the playoffs this year. They're not talking to Caleb Williams. I would say this for the division. Eagles, I think, are better. I think the New York Giants improved this offseason. And then, you know, we'll see with Washington what the change of ownership, which will be done.
The Giants may be on the same par with Cowboys right now.
They played two close games last year, and the Giants made the playoffs, and we mentioned beat the Vikings. So, I mean, they're not, you know, far away. They have improved, and Brian Daboll is a good hire for them at coach. And the other question with Washington is, you know, the Washington Commanders, competitive team last year, but how much does the change of ownership matter, right? I mean, Daniel Snyder's been such an anchor on that franchise. By the time the season starts, they'll have a new owner. They'll have new ownership. And does that breathe some life into Ron Rivera and that franchise? They still don't have a quarterback. But
Ron Rivera is still going to be the coach for one more year?
Yeah, they'll go one more year. But their first goal in Washington is going to be to get a new stadium built. They want to go ahead and leave that dump out there in, what is it, Landover?
Yeah.
Where they play. That place is terrible. They want to put a stadium, the new ownership, apparently back downtown near the old RFK and really revitalize this fan base and pump them up. But for 1 year, what does that mean? They're going to be last place in that division for your Dallas Cowboys. But I'm not worried about walking to Dallas is the whole point of that conversation.
No, don't worry about that.
Do you know the commissioner of the league, Roger Goodell, grew up a Washington fan going to games at RFK? Of course, his dad was a senator?
Oh, he dressed up like one of the hogs, I believe.
Yeah.
He wore a dress and did all that, you know, big hog talk.
This says, could
talking hogs?
Could Harge join y'all some morning to talk Cowboys? That would be entertaining. I talked to Harge. I saw Harge yesterday. I was out at that last night at that Austin Gambler
Harge
show.
Feels me on a lot of my Cowboys takes. He'll text me.
You guys are homers.
He'll silently agree
Come
with
on.
Me.
You guys are Cowboys
I'm
homers.
Not, I'm not completely being serious about 50% of the things I just said, but
is this the Cove Cowboys?
I am serious about Zeke coming home.
Cowboys?
It would be great for the Cowboys to get to a Super Bowl, but they have to win the Super Bowl for me to have to walk to Dallas at the age of 50.
And I'll come with you.
A promise I made when I was 26 years old.
It'll be like a Forrest Gump kind of situation.
Tag team.
You want to walk with me?
People will be joining hand.
It will be. I'll be fully bearded by the time I get there. It'll be great.
Yeah, because it ain't happening this year.
Jerry Jones will meet you there, greet you with a nice handshake. And
it's not
thank you.
Happening
hey, listen,
with that quarterback.
How much fun would it be that the Super Bowl is in Vegas this year? That'd be a lot
it's
of fun.
Not happening with the king of interceptions.
Yeah, he has not been good with that. But they're going to run the ball. In a league that is a passing league now, the Cowboys are pivoting. They're going back old school.
Or does Saquon play for them, too?
To protect their quarterback. We come back.
Does Saquon play there? Saquon didn't play for the Cowboys,
we'll
does
pick
he?
Up the B&E facts of the day to talk a little football. Speaking of odds, we've got the ESPN FPI. How many games are the Texas Longhorns going to win? 100 days to the start of the season. It's 100 days from today when the Longhorns take the field at DKR to face the Rice Owls. We'll get you those numbers coming up. First, though, it's Craig Way.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
B&E on a busy Wednesday morning, wet Wednesday morning. Be careful. Heard Don Miller there with the traffic. It's going to be slow going, I would imagine, with the pooling water. But the rain subsiding. Still a good chance of rain all day today. But we can use it, as the Buck says. We'll get back to the Celtics. Big win last night. Down 9 in the third quarter. Completely turned that game around. Have they turned the series around or just win one game in what's going to be a 5 or 6 game series? We'll also talk some Texas baseball coming up. Had a good conversation with Texas head coach David Pierce yesterday here on the show, and we'll talk here Coach Pierce's thoughts. This was ahead of the Big 12 announcing its, you know, all Big 12 squads, which were announced yesterday. 8 Longhorns, including 5 on the first team. Lucas Gordon named the pitcher of the year. Lucas will climb the hill today and pitch for the Longhorns against Kansas. We'll hear from Coach Pierce coming up. Also talk some Texas football this morning. 100 days, Buck. 100 days. Can we make it? Countdown the days. 100 days to the start of the college football season.
And a Big 12 title.
Yeah. All gas, no excuses for the Longhorns this year. No doubt about that, for sure. Somebody said, is Jerry Jones really the general manager? Isn't Steven doing that?
No.
I think you're off the hook. Well, if you go to DallasCowboys.com, which is their website, of course, Buck, and go to the executives, front office, owner, president, general manager, Jerry Jones. Chief Operating Officer, Executive Vice President, Director of Player Personnel, Stephen Jones.
Does not say anything about general manager.
Executive Vice President, Chief Brand Officer, Charlotte Jones, and the Executive Vice President, Chief of Sales and Marketing, Jerry Jones Jr. So that's your front office. It's the family business. That's why the illegitimate daughter's trying to sue her way in. She wants a piece of that deal.
She wants to be a part of the Joneses.
She's like, hey, Dad, everyone else is in the front office. What am I doing? Everyone else has a high-paying executive gig.
Come on. I need to be at least a scout.
Give me something. But yes, Jerry Jones is still listed as the owner. So if they did, and if they were to win the Super Bowl, I would have to fulfill the promise and walk the 200 miles to.
And Big Mike can make that happen.
And somebody said, "Are you walking into the Star Complex in Frisco?" No, I'm walking to Arlington.
Yeah, we're not taking that extra.
Walking to the stadium. I'm not going all the way to Frisco. That ain't happening. Arlington would be my spot for sure. And I would find the shortest. Is there a shortcut I could take? I mean, I guess I just have to take either 35 east or west.
No, we're going 281. We're going to the back roads. We want to hit all the little hamlets on the way. Oh, yeah.
No, they got to win the Super Bowl, and they haven't made it to the conference championship game and since Ty's been alive. So I think we
Triple K.
Good.
We're going to be at the Triple K restaurant on the way there.
Oh, KKK, no.
The dog go. We're going to stop off.
What's the Triple K?
It was the coffee cafe or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Did they know what they were doing kind of deal?
They knew what they were doing. Let's just say.
Back in the day, they knew
when you start
they were
selling
doing...
spelling coffee with a K.
Yeah,
and cafe with a K.
I guess you're right.
I think you know what you're doing in that realm.
Yeah, very similar to the our donuts. I knew exactly what was going on in that.
That was the topless donut shop you went to in Florida, and you took John McAvick to that back in the day.
They had good coffee. I just want you to understand
sure.
The coffee.
That's
was
why
good
you went
too.
There. That's why you went there at 9 in the morning to get your cup of coffee.
6:30 in the morning.
Topless donut shop.
Yeah.
Yes.
It used to exist. It doesn't exist any longer. It's closed, surprisingly.
Yeah. Was it like a strip club or was it?
No,
it's a donut shop.
Just girls.
Donuts.
Just ladies in a cafe.
Yeah, it's like going to
letting them hang.
Krispy Kreme. Same thing.
Do they wear like aprons?
No, it's topless. Okay. Were without cream.
Were the windows blacked out?
Yeah, well, they were blacked out because of the sun. It's Florida.
The sun.
Yeah, it's too sunny in the morning. So the
only
head coach,
find that.
The head coach said, hey, why is it so dark? The window, I said, the glare, coach.
the glare. That's too much. That was back in the 90s.
He actually did sit there and have a full cup of coffee.
Called R Donuts? Those guys' name?
R-rated, I guess.
Oh, R-rated?
Yeah.
Okay. I get that. Didn't realize.
I think it didn't go over well when the lady said, would you like cream, and stood over the cup, kind of leaned over the cup.
Ooh, some of them could give you like...
with or without cream, coach.
Like real cream, their own.
Like real cream is right.
Gross. We'll be back. We'll get this thing back on track here from David Pierce as the Longhorns begin play at the Big 12 tournament. 8 Longhorns honored yesterday by the Big 12 conference. And yeah, thought David Pierce should have gotten that coach of the year in the Big 12. He did not. We'll tell you who did coming up. And the other headlines on a rainy Wednesday morning, B&E on the Horn.